You've heard of black holes in outer space? Turns out there may be some black holes right around your computer. A new University of Washington project is busy mapping the black holes in cyberspace. I'm joined today by Ethan Cass-Bassett, who is working on this project. Ethan, welcome to Connected.
Thank you very much.
So what do you mean by black holes on the Internet?
So the most basic goal of the Internet is global reachability. When you connect a computer to the Internet, say your radio station's website, you want everyone to be able to reach it. You don't want just customers of Comcast to be able to get there. And everything on the Internet is designed around this goal. But it turns out that sometimes this property of everyone being able to reach it is violated. And when there are some people who persistently can't get to a certain location, that's what we mean by a black hole. Their traffic from some places in the world to, say, your website is consistently failing to get there.
And this is different from your website just being down overall?
Yeah, exactly. The main problems that we look at are instances when some people can get to the network and others can't.
Okay, so how did you get the idea to do this?
So about a year and a half ago, we started looking at a broader class of problems. And when I started looking at some of the data we were collecting, it really jumped out at us that these problems were popping up a lot more often than we expected, and probably a lot more often than anyone expected. And when these problems occur, often it's hard for the network operators who are actually running the Internet to realize that they're starting up or to be able to narrow in on what the problem is. And so we thought that it would be useful to provide a tool that could track these problems in real time across the Internet and hopefully eventually give network operators some of the data they'd need to start addressing these problems and fixing them.
So tell me a little bit about what exactly your project is. You're mapping the Internet?
So the way Hubble works is we have computers all around the world that sort of continuously try to reach parts of the network that were previously reachable. And when one of these computers fails to reach something that it previously could reach, it notifies the other ones. They all try to reach it, and we sort of narrow in on which ones are able to reach it, which ones can't, where in the network is the problem occurring. And then once we've identified this problem, we continue tracking it while it persists until it clears up.
And I think it's kind of cool that you named this thing Hubble.
Yeah, the term black holes for the Internet was already around, and Internet astronomy is sort of an accepted term, so we continued that analogy, went with Hubble. I think it's helped it helps people understand sort of what we're getting at.
I find it kind of amazing that you found as many problems as you did. I mean, if our website is ever down for any length of time, the phone lines ring, and hey, what happened to your website? And it's kind of interesting to me that you would find so many websites that people have trouble reaching for so long.
Yeah, I think it's sort of stunning. I mean, when you look at the map or you look at the data and the number that we're seeing per week, and none of us really expected that. We need to sort of follow up on this analysis. One of the next steps will be to try to figure out more, you know, which networks are having these problems. Can we come up with some patterns or something like that that'll better explain what's going on?
And so talk a little bit about some of the problems that you're finding. What have you found so far through your analysis of the Internet? Are you finding any typical problems or in any particular regions?
I think we still need to do more of that analysis, but one of the things that we found sort of most surprising and most interesting is a lot of times networks will pay multiple providers, which with the idea being that you'll then have some redundancy. If there's issues with one of your provider, you can just get your Internet access through another one. And we found that frequently there'll be problems where a network is reachable through one of its providers, whereas any paths, any sort of our computers that are trying to get there through the other provider will fail. And so even though the entire reason behind having multiple providers is to get some redundancy from failure, it seems like sometimes it's actually creating the problem.
So what type of sites are you finding are down? Are we talking about big sites from big companies?
I think we still need to do more of that analysis. I think that it's usually not, you know, major websites, although pretty recently in the news there was an issue where YouTube had some problems that the Pakistani government was trying to block citizens from being able to get to certain YouTube videos, and mistakenly one of the network operators there ended up blocking huge portions of the world from being able to get to YouTube. So that is the type of problem that Hubble would identify, although I think most of them aren't on that scale.
So let's talk about some of the problems then that could cause websites to be inaccessible from certain places. Is it just, you know, hardware failure, or some needs to be rebooted in a back room? What kind of things are causing these outages?
So the types of problems where something's reachable from some locations and not reachable from other locations can't actually be just a hardware failure. It's not just a backhoe going out there and cutting some cable by mistake. Because it's reachable from some parts of the world, and because we're able to identify that it's reachable from some places and not from others, we're able to connect to both the places that can reach and the ones that can't reach. So there is a path, at least, that could be taken. So there's some element of either misconfiguration on some of the routers on the internet or some sort of policy that's keeping things from switching over. So each of the ISPs that make up the internet have some policy about which traffic they're willing to carry where, and sometimes it might be an issue of policy creating this problem. Otherwise, it's some sort of misconfiguration that's keeping things from failing over from the broken path over to the one that works.
And for the people who haven't seen the site that you've developed, what you do is you basically plot all of these errors or black holes on a great big map of the world.
Yeah, exactly. You can go to the website, which is hubble.cs.washington.edu, and it updates about quarter hourly, and you can see on the map where the problems are, you can see how long they've been persisting, and then there's also the ability to query it and look up for the addresses that we are monitoring, whether there's currently a problem that we know of, or you can look up your own address and see if we've identified a problem for part of your network.
That's kind of poking around on the map, and I was kind of surprised by how many of the sites that were listed as having a problem that had lasted for even more than 48 hours.
Yeah, it was sort of stunning. I mean, when we did an original study last October for 3 weeks, and one in five of the problems lasted for 10 hours, and there's some that are lasting for days on end. And actually on the map, we have them, we stopped plotting them on the map after 48 hours, so there's some that have been going on even longer that we just don't bother plotting at this point.
So it looks like they've just given up.
Yeah, exactly.
This is actually kind of groundbreaking because the National Science Foundation actually ended up giving you some funding for the project, correct?
Yeah, they fund a number of the networks projects that we're doing here. It's great. It gives us an ability to look into interesting questions like this that maybe people haven't really tackled before.
And because they haven't tackled them before, how would somebody have known that there was a problem with their site like this before? Where would they have gotten this information? How would they even know that there was a problem?
So I think for sort of a home user, there really weren't many things you could do it before. You could maybe try to call up your internet service provider and ask them. For actual network operators who are running the networks, there were some tools available, but none of them really operate on the scale that Hubble operates on, where we're monitoring the entire internet at once. And so, you know, if one of these tools couldn't really get at what you needed, a lot of times the operators have to recourse to just asking other operators on a mailing list to see if they can reach their networks, and then the operators will post the replies back. And it's sort of amazing that at this point the protocols aren't always working, and the operators don't necessarily have access to the data that they need to figure out how to fix them or access to tools that will really address this. So, you know, it's often just, hey, can you reach me?
Which seems, you know, really odd that, you know, we're in this high-tech day and age, and the whole thing seems to be sort of held together by a shoestring.
I think initially when I started using the internet, you know, when I was in high school or something like that, it seemed amazing that it works because it seemed like magic. I didn't really know what was behind it. These days, sometimes it seems amazing that it works because I know how horrible and ad hoc some of the stuff that is behind it is.
I mean, the internet is certainly not, you know, brand new technology. It just didn't start last year. We were talking a little bit about how you were surprised by how many problems there are. Are you amazed that you're the first person to really map all these problems, this idea hasn't occurred to anybody yet?
I think that before there was sort of a sense that there was no way to monitor them on this scale, that you could have little place solutions that would monitor, you know, a subset of the problems, or maybe, you know, if you have some big service, you could, if you're running a big website, you could monitor your own problems. And I think it really didn't occur to people that it was actually possible with existing tools to ramp it up to the level that Hubble has, where we're monitoring most of the internet at once. And we're mostly just combining sort of known tools together in order to do that.
And I think, you know, we're frustrated every now and then when we can't get to a site that we're trying to. And one of the things that I was kind of surprised by your research was how many people have that problem, that it seems like things are failing all the time. Can you tell me about what your test last fall found about the failure rate of a lot of sites, or how often these sort of outages occur?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Could you talk? You did a study last fall, and you analyzed how often these sorts of problems happen with sites. Can you talk a little bit about how common of an occurrence these kind of outages are?
Yeah, definitely. So we did a 3-week study last year, and during that time, we considered problems that sort of started during the three-week period and then cleared up before the end of the three-week period. And we saw over 30,000 problems during that time, and they affected over 10,000 different networks. And one in five of those problems was going on for more than 10 hours. So, you know, it sort of really jumps out at you when you hear how big those numbers are over just a three-week period. The 10,000 networks, that's about 7% of what we were monitoring. So, you know, almost 1 in 10 of the networks that we were monitoring had a problem during that period.
And a huge fraction of those who had a problem for more than 10 hours, which is also hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need to do more analysis on sort of where these problems are occurring, because like you said, when you're browsing the internet on sort of a day-to-day basis, you don't generally encounter problems very often where things are unreachable for a really long period. Maybe, you know, briefly you'll have problems loading a certain website, and then a minute later it'll be fine. And actually that points at something we'd like to do with the data down the road. We'd like to make some tools that end users can use that when they're having problems, they'll help diagnose the problem. And maybe if it's one of these big black holes where things are reachable from some places and not reachable from others, we could actually help route them around the problem and still get them the data they want through the working paths.
Now, has your tool also then helped the web hosters figure out what's going on with their websites? Have you helped them identify problems that they wouldn't have seen otherwise? Are you finding any usage from that end?
Yeah, we've gotten some good feedback from operators. They're definitely interested in what we're doing, and some of them have asked us to add in their networks to the ones that we're monitoring. And I think sort of down the road, that's another thing we'd like to do is make the data more useful to them, figure out how do we need to give them access. You know, for example, if one of them is actually having these problems, we need to make sure that we can notify them and actually that the fact that they're having the problem will get around the problem and, you know, let them know that it won't just get stuck in the black hole if we try to notify them.
And before I let you go, let me have you give us the web address one more time so that people can check the outage map for themselves.
Definitely. It's Hubble, H-U-B-B-L-E, .cs.washington.edu.
Great, Ethan. It's been so great talking to you. Ethan Katz-Bassett, he's in charge of the Hubble project, Mapping the Black Holes on the Internet, so check it out. I'm Kevin Eby. This is Connected.